You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Verse 12. It says, honor thy father and thy mother, that their days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And from that particular verse, we would like to pin this title or this theme to it: the greatest father. The greatest father. Let us pray. Father, the preparation has went forth. Lord, we have done all that we can do to prepare ourselves. Lord, we ask you to honor me now as I stand before your people, to bless my tongue, bless my mind, to keep it at peace, that I might speak clear and precisely, Lord, to what you have said to me as I slept in slumber, as you talked to me early this morning about what to say. Lord, keep me and keep our minds and our hearts open to what says, thus says the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Amen. On this most noted day that we call Father's Day, it has been not documented, but some early 1800s to late 1800s to the early 1900s, this day was dedicated as Father's Day. But fathers have been around for a long time, from the beginning of time. Our first known father was God himself. And our second known father was Adam. And from Adam, we have every man, woman, boy, and girl upon the earth. But every man that wears that title of father does not deserve the honor that it goes with it. But here in our text, it says specifically, no matter who he is or how you see him, of all of these Ten Commandments that were given to the children of Israel at Mount Sinai, this particular one was one of the only ones that had a positive reinforcement. As well so as the one that says, keep, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Yes, sir. Both of these particular verses have a positive command to it and a blessing to it if you do it.
That's right.
The Hebrew word here is ahuah for father. The Greek word is pater. Both denotes that a father should be a nourisher, a protector, and an upholder. Many times, this particular verse tells us as a true test for a child. We have to view this from a child's point of view because it's easy for us to honor each other, but the honor here denotes that it's coming from someone of a lower standard or a lower position, the child. So the child is asked to honor his father and his mother, that his days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And this is a test because God is saying, in doing this, you show respect to him by honoring them.
All right. That's right.
You show respect to them by honoring him. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, the New Testament, the notion of this same verse says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may enjoy a long life on this earth. But the Bible strictly warns children against cursing and abusing their parents. Exodus 21, verse 15 through 17. As our text comes from the book of Exodus, we know that this is the second book of the Bible. It records the greatest migration ever witnessed on earth. Its title means a going out or a departure. It denotes redemption by blood and power. The law was given and the regulation for life and worship by God himself. From this perfect law, we get the moral law, the Ten Commandments. Ten being one of the perfect numbers of Scripture, signifying the perfection of divine order. Five commands express God, man's relationship Godward, and five his relationship manward. Because of this fifth commandment, a father commands a high position in the family. The wife shares some of this responsibility and authority. The word honor often refers to one responds to God. The father is expected to assume certain responsibilities. Those responsibilities are weighty. They are very weighty. Spiritual responsibility.
That's right.
A social responsibility.
Yes,
right. An economic responsibility.
Right.
A nourisher responsibility. Both to his wife and to his children.
Yeah.
A protector, both to his wife and his children. And an upholder of that which is good. To both man and mankind. The spiritual aspect is the father is responsible for the spiritual well-being of his household. He's denoted as the priest, the king, and the prophet. That does not give him a level of authority to dictate or dominate the household, but to honor his position as the spiritual leader within the house.
That's right.
He must offer sacrifice on the behalf of the family.
Right.
Job, as you read the book of Job, he offered sacrifice on behalf of his children because they would be out doing things that were unbecoming to God. And Job often went to the altar and made sacrifice for his children on their behalf because that was his responsibility as the father. He was responsible, the father was responsible for the spiritual training of his children in godliness.
That's right.
Ephesians 6 and 4, Proverbs 22 and 6, that reminds us to train up a child in the way he should go, that when he is old, he will not depart from it. The social / protector. The father's responsibility was to see that no one takes advantage of any member of his family. He's even willing to lay down his life on behalf of his family. He will go when no others will go. He will stay when no others will stay. He will walk when no others will walk on behalf of his family. That's where he stands as a protector. From a social standpoint, his responsibility to the son was to make sure that he was circumcised on the eighth day. Now, all this is denoted from the fact that this is God speaking to Israel from a Jewish perspective. But this does not take away from the secular or the human or the natural man. He still has the same responsibility and the moral code still applies to him. He had the responsibility again to see that his son was circumcised. He had the responsibility of passing on the inheritance to his firstborn. Something that's not done today, and most especially within our culture, is to find a wife for his son. I don't think that most of us will try that today. And to teach his son a trade. That has been a lost art also. Economically, the father was to provide for the needs of the family. He would work from sun up to sundown. He would do the fields or whatever industrial he was working in, be it as agricultural, be it industrial, be it whatever job that he was in, he would make sure that he would be there on time. He was there all day long to make sure that he brought home an earning that his might be economically fitting for his household. We were reminded in Proverbs 6, verse 6 through 11, he told them to pay attention to the ant because he was a provider. In contrast to the slugger, who was a habitual lazy person. I hope, men, that we are not habitually lazy people. Paul, in his letter to Timothy, says in 1 Timothy 5 and 8, rebuke those who fail to provide for his family. Paul calls him an infidel. Yeah, an orderly and beautiful picture of the duty, the character of an ideal human father may be built upon from the Old Testament and the New Testament.
All right.
He is love, Genesis 37 and 14. He commands, Genesis 50 and 16. Proverbs 6 and 20. He denotes command. He instructs, Proverbs 1 and 8. He guides, encourages, and warns, Jeremiah 3 and 4. 1 Thessalonians 2 and 11. He trains, Hosea 11 and 3. He rebukes, Genesis 34 and 30. He restrains, or hold back, or keep back, 1 Samuel 3 and 13. And he punishes. Deuteronomy 21 and 18. He chastised, Proverbs 23 and 12. Deuteronomy 8 and 5. And he's the nourisher, verse 1, Isaiah 1 and 2. He is considerate of his children's needs and requests, Matthew 7 and 10. And he provokes not his children to wrath, Ephesians 6 and 4. As a father myself, I tried my best, but in my efforts, we have a tendency to do what we was trained or what we learned to do from our fathers before us. And sometimes I fail, and sometimes I did well. But one of the things that I know that my children wanted from me more than anything else was time. They wanted our time. They wanted our time. They know we have to work, but that little bit of time that you can give to them, where you take away from that basketball game, you take away from that football game, you take away from that pleasure of running with your buddies or running with your friends, but you dedicate that time to your children. That's what they want from us as fathers. During the late 80s and the early 90s, there was a TV sitcom that ran for 8 seasons. For 23 to 24 minutes every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, many Americans got a chance to escape the reality of parenthood and to see what we pictured as an ideal family. And that was Cliff Huxtable, the obstetrician, his wife, Claire Huxtable, the lawyer, in an upper middle class family living in a brownstone in Brooklyn, gave many families a chance to see what a family could look like. His four daughters, Sonia, Denise, Vanessa, and Ruby, plus a son, Theo Huxtable, in 23 minutes, always got it right as far as the TV was concerned. They showed him nourishing their children. They showed him protecting his children. They showed him upholding his children. They showed him being socially with his children, spiritually influencing them, and economically preparing them. And for that, the Nielsen rating gave him the greatest TV dad to be known in the world. But that shouldn't be just him. That should be the reality for each one of us that are men. But however, the psalmist stated something in 27, number of song in verse 10. Even though that father might not be there the way you want him to do, God always sends somebody to be there. Be it the stepfather, be it the grandfather, be it the father substitute, but there's always a man to stand in the gap. But Jesus made it clear in the 27th number of Psalm, he says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then Jehovah will take me up. Even if no one else will be your father, God is standing there to be your father this afternoon. For all that has been stated, we can fully appreciate God as the believer's father. We know all about his children. Who knows all about his children's need. He even knows the number of hairs on each one of our bodies. Something Matthew 10 and 30. He is the protector of his children and rescues them from all types of hurt and harm. As seen in Isaiah 63 and 13. He states this as he talks about Abraham. He says, but you are your father. Through Abraham does not know us, or Israel acknowledge us. Oh, you, O Lord, or our Father, our Redeemer, from all of all your name, all uphold your name. Even though our earthly father might do us wrong, he's saying he is the father to all that will accept him. He is a teacher. He teaches us ways to go. Hosea chapter 11, verse 1 through 3. It says, when Israel was a child, the Lord loved him. And out of Egypt, I call you as my son. But I call Israel the father they went from me. They sacrificed to Balaam and they burned incense to images. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the hand and by the arm, but they did not realize it was I who healed them. And he supplied all their needs, Matthew 6 and 33. But he says, but seek ye the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What I'm trying to say to you fathers today, be a good father. Even if it means pushing away your children with your left hand, but drawing them closer with your right hand. Because it's your means, it's by your means that they will be able to identify a great father. But there was one that came down through 42 generations. He tabernacled here some 33 years. And he helped us to see what a father was like. He took up a Roman cross one day. And he went to a hill called Calvary. And he hung there from the sixth to the ninth hour.
Yes, sir.
And when he held his head to the locks of his shoulders, and he thought his father had forsaken him.
Yes.
He said, where, oh, Father? He said, Eli, Eli, Shabbat, why have thou forsaken me? But God was not hiding from him. He was just could not look upon the sin of man.
Right.
But he stayed there, and he died. And they took him off that cross. And they placed him in the heart of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights. But early Sunday morning, he got up that we might be able to see what a father is like and what a son can be like. He wants us to be the greatest father there are. But don't forget that he is the father of us all. God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. And we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.